How Not to Be Stupid by Igor Sabaldi. Read by John Sackville.
Part 1. Practical. What is stupidity? The word stupid enters our personal vocabulary in our earliest years. By the age of 4, we already know how it feels to be called stupid, in the 3 harshest inflections of the term. Stupid? You're stupid. You're a stupid boy / girl. Stupid is a warning shot. It means, look out, you're about to step over a psychological line nobody wants to cross, and there's no easy way back. You're stupid is a diagnosis. It means you've gone over that line, and now you're in trouble. Call for help and cross your fingers, it doesn't get any worse. You're a stupid boy / girl is an indictment. It means there are stupid people in the world, a woefully obtuse bunch who cause nothing but harm, and you're one of them. We also learn early on to say it of other people. He's a stupid boy. Uttering these words makes us feel better, because the implication is, if I've noticed he's stupid, there's a good chance I'm not. Since childhood, the relief at avoiding stupidity, the fear of crossing the line into stupidity, or the shame of having done so, have been so strong they have made us believe we know what stupidity is. Especially since, when we have used the word, nobody has ever asked, okay, but stupid in what way? And we have never asked either, for fear of looking stupid. Supposing we asked ourselves the question now, we would struggle to find an answer. Describing exactly what we mean by the word stupidity is as difficult as explaining what a strawberry tastes like. Saying, well, being stupid means not being intelligent, is like saying that strawberries don't taste like cherries. What then, if not cherries? If stupid people are not intelligent, then what are they? The difficulty in both cases is the same, but for different reasons. In the case of strawberries, there's a linguistic gap. We don't have the right vocabulary to describe the delicious flavor we all know. Stupidity, on the other hand, would be perfectly describable if, as we'll discover in the next chapter, we were not held back by a kind of social block. Stupid is a conventional word, just like reality, politics, and so on. And conventional words are like the rules of a game. They are accepted at face value and never questioned, simply because everyone uses them. Just as there's no need to understand why, in a game of chess, the bishop only moves diagonally, and it would be pointless asking. Calling someone stupid, or being afraid to be seen as stupid, doesn't require you to know exactly what stupidity is, and so the question goes unasked. The game in which we use conventional words like reality, politics, and stupid, among many others, is called fitting in. It begins at birth, and it never ends. It's not especially challenging, it's not fun, and those who take part in it consider it not a game, but an essential part of everyday life. Some say it does more harm than good, others call it conformism. Another more challenging, and even less fun game, is war, and this, too, is full of conventional words. Enemy, general, order, soldier, civilian, etc. Which must, under no circumstances, be questioned for as long as the game is in play. In fact, were they to be called into question during the war, the whole thing would come to a halt, and the players would be left looking like idiots. It almost always works this way with conventional words. They allow you to talk about the things you're supposed to talk about without thinking. And, above all, this book aims to argue against conventional words. Question. So, reality is a conventional word? Answer. Yes. We'll go over this again later. What stupidity is? Stupidity, then, is derived from the Latin stupeo, meaning I remain still. A stupid person, stupidus, may seem to be ignorant, foolish, imbecilic, silly, crack-brained, cretinous, idiotic or weak-minded, might be branded an ass, asshole, or dickhead, but isn't necessarily any of these